Okay, open your Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 15. We're going to go to the Old Testament tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 15, the name of the message is release. Do you know that we are released, beloved? We are released from our sins by the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what. And it all comes by God's almighty sovereign hand, according to his will. According to his will. Tonight, we'll see here in Deuteronomy 15. Our text will be found in verses 1 to 2, but I want us to read the first 11 verses to get the context of what we're going to look at. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. Do you know we owed a debt we couldn't pay? And Christ paid a debt that wasn't his. And we are set free because of him. Look at this. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. What a picture. Of a foreigner thou mayest extract it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. Christ is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, isn't he? Oh, he's the God-man. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. He's talking about the promised land here. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord God, Lord thy God, blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren, with any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Now that's very similar to Galatians 6, where when our brother's down and out, or our sister, we're to go and help him and lift him up, right? Bear their burdens, especially to those who are the household of faith, right? Especially to those who are the household of faith. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him. Oh, hasn't God opened his hand wide unto us, we who are his people? And shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year of the release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. And in verse 11, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor and to the needy in thy land. Excuse me. So we have in this chapter a discourse, continuation of Moses' discourse from chapter 14, where Moses was bringing forth some of God's laws on clean and unclean animals and also on tithing. And here he brings forth what the order for the release of debts every 7 years. Note the number seven, too, the number of perfection. And he cautions the people not to withhold lending to their needy brethren on account of the year of the release being at hand. Then he brings forth in the latter part of this chapter particularities respecting the Hebrew servant and also concerning the offering of the firstling of their cattle to God. But tonight I'd like us to focus on verses 1 and 2, where we see at the end of every 7 years, the Israelites were to release every man who was a debtor. Every man who was a debtor from the debt that they had accumulated and owed to them. Now, these were other Israelites. We saw it doesn't apply to foreigners, but it does apply to the Israelites. And they were to release their debt. They were to release their debt. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. And again, I pray the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures for us and teach us gospel truths here, which were, they're here in shadow, and they find their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone. Who has what? He's released his people, hasn't he? We're released, beloved. Think of this, we're released from the payment of our sin, aren't we? Christ paid it all. We're released from the judgment of our sin. All our sins were judged in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? My, oh my. We're released from the wrath of God that was against us, against our sin. Against our sin. The law had a rightful claim on us, didn't it? Christ released us from all that. He's a propitiation for our sins. He paid it all. There's nothing left to pay for. He did it all. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way for a sinner to be saved than through Christ. And that's why he said, you must be born again. It's a work of God. It's an operation of God. And we have a great debt which we've accumulated. As humans, we come out of the womb speaking lies, born dead in trespasses and sins. Think of how many sins we've committed before the Lord saved us and how many sins we committed after the Lord saved us. And consider the great debt. But aren't you thankful, beloved of God, that Christ paid it all for them? So much so, Brother Zane, that God says, I don't remember your sin no more. We remember him, don't we? Amen. Then never to meet, right? Never to meet. You can go east and you'll never go west if you're going east. You go around this world, you go east, and you just keep going east, you'll always be going east. You go west, you'll always be going west. And we know if you go north and south, eventually you're going to hit the poles. So the Lord, what a picture he's given us. What a picture he's given us. Oh my. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. Now, this is a commandment. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. Look at that. The debt is paid in full. It's released. Canceled. Canceled. He shall not extract it of his neighbor. He won't take his neighbor to court. He won't go up and grab him and demand that he pays him. No. Or of his brothers. Look at this. Because it's called Jehovah's release. Yahweh's release. The Lord's release. Now this isn't something natural for man, is it? Somebody owes something. I'll tell you what, the bank won't release you early, will it? If you owe money to the bank, they're not going to say, well, 7 years, no. No, they're going to make you pay every penny, aren't they? This is why this is remarkable. It's called the Lord's release. It's not natural to man. And this wonderful transaction is called the Lord's release, and it comes at the end of 7 years. And it's all according to the gracious law of God for Israel. That there should be, first of all, a rest one day in seven. And it's the seventh day, isn't it? We're to rest on the seventh day. Now, we find our rest as New Testament believers in Christ. We can worship Christ every day of the week, which we do already. We don't have to have a particular day because Christ is our Sabbath. He's our rest. That's what it means. The Sabbath means rest. And then there were the feast days, 1 month and seven. And then there came the seventh year, a year of rest for the land, which they did not till, but left it to Lot, lie fallow. And then after sevens were complete, there came on the 50th year an extraordinary year of rest, which was called the year of Jubilee. Yeah, Jubilee. Yeah. So two things happened at the end of every 7 years. The land was to lie fallow as a symbol of God's ownership of the land. That's what that pictured. It pictured God's ownership of the land. It's His. He's the owner of this world. He's the owner of the universe. It's His. It's His by creation. It's His by dominion, by His sovereign rule, isn't it? Oh my. And seven is a perfect number. Seven is the perfect number. 6 days of creation and the seventh day, which was a day of rest. So first of all, the land was to be left fallow, which was a symbol of God's ownership. And then we see here fellow Israelites were to be released from their debts every 7 years. So Brian, if I owed you money, brother, and we were Israelites, on the seventh year, you'd release me from that debt. Doesn't matter how much is being paid back. That's not what's important. It's a release. And God has promised to bless the Israelites for that. Think upon this. This command was not for the Moabites, was it? It wasn't for the Edomites. It wasn't for any, it wasn't for the Egyptians. It wasn't for any of those around them, the Canaanites. It wasn't for any of them, the Amorites. It was for God's chosen people and them alone. And God's people would have delighted to do this. They would have delighted to do this. Now, this passage teaches us that the Lord commanded the Israelites that the creditor is to release at the end of every 7 years the debt that his neighbor owed him. And they were not to extract it from them. They were not to go back and say, "You still owe me that." The debtor was fully released by the creditor. Fully released. What a picture, eh? What a picture. Oh, my. Now, it might have been a debt he could never pay back in a lifetime, but they were to be released from it. My, oh, my. Fully released. And it's called the Lord's release. Oh, what a type we see here. What a type we see here, beloved. Which the Lord Himself gives to His people. And oh, what a release we have. We who are born again, blood-washed saints of God, we've been released from our sin. Amen, brother. The penalty of our sin, gone. The payment of our sin, already paid for. The punishment for our sin, already dealt with. Christ paid it all. The wrath that was due us fell upon Him in our room and place. We've been released. And whose release is it? It's the Lord's release, isn't it? Salvation's of the Lord, the scripture, Jonas proclaimed. Salvation's of the Lord. It's He who releases us. Now, and think of this too. Who had we sinned against? God. The debt we owed for our sins was to God. Christ paid our debt in full before God. Hallelujah, as Dave said. Oh, don't get any better than that, does it, beloved? I'll tell you what. That's something for us to shout about, isn't it? Paid in full. Released by the power of God. Oh my. The lawgiver himself. Think of this too. The law, we broke the law of God. The lawgiver himself comes to this earth. The lawgiver himself and fulfills that law. His law fulfills it perfectly in our room and place as our great substitute. My! And it's He who releases us because of His work, His merit, His salvation, His blood, His righteousness. And we are but receivers of this mercy and grace, beloved. Undeserving, hell-deserving sinners saved by the grace and mercy of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. And note, too, it cannot be extracted again. God won't say, well, you know, no, you still owe. No, payment can't be made twice, right? When Moses struck that rock, he wasn't allowed to go in the promised land because that pictured Christ being struck twice, and God says, that's never going to happen. The Lamb of God was smitten for us in our room and place by God. Oh my, so that when the Lord releases us, there's no other extraction again. That's wonderful. Oh, I love it. It's amazing. That's all you can say. It's amazing grace. It's truly amazing. Freedom, brother. Amen. The lawgiver himself has fulfilled his own law in the place of his people. Fully releasing us too. He's released us from the demands of his law. He's made a curse for us, right? Galatians talks about to take us out from under the law that was our, it had a claim on us. We've been set free. Liberty, brother. Freedom in Christ. I don't think we really understand how free we are. Now, we're still tangled with sin in this world, but oh my gosh, beloved, our sin's bought and paid for. That's why we rejoice. That's why we want to tell others about this wonderful salvation in and through Christ and Him alone. It's the only hope for sinners, right? My. So the lawgiver himself fulfills the demands of his own law, pays the price that's demanded by that law for our sins, dies on Calvary, sheds his precious blood, is buried for 3 days and raises from the grave for our justification. And is right now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Oh, what great love drove Christ to come to this world for his people. Eternal love. Oh my. How do we know? How do we know that the debt is wiped out? Look at verse 2. He shall not extract it of his neighbor or of his brother because it's called the Lord's release. This is absolute forgiveness of the debt he owed. You remember when we were kids and they had those stamps paid in full when you went to the store? I've told you all, I used to love getting them stamps and doing that because I'd say, Dad, can I stamp that? And he'd ask the teller, can he stamp it? Oh, sure. And he'd go, oh, look at that, paid in full. And you know what? At the time, I didn't fully realize what that was. I do now. Because I was just a little 4 or 5 year old. The thrill was stamping, right? Now I know what that stamp means. There's nothing left to pay. Look at this. There's nothing left to extract. It's a complete release, beloved. And again, we know that this was according to divine command. And if it is and it was according to divine command, then there's no extracting. There's no extracting it again. It's a picture of God's loving kindness and grace and mercy to his people in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. My. And what three beautiful words, the Lord's release at the end of verse 2. It's the Lord's release. It's his doing. They were to do this because God commanded them to do this. And they were to do it in a right spirit. With a pure motive, because it's the Lord's release. Christ came here with a pure motive, didn't he? The love of God. He's God the Son. The eternal love for his church. The eternal love for the Father. The eternal love for the Spirit drove him to come here. And to release us from our sins by the shedding of his precious blood. And they're not to, note, they're not to give this release in their name. They're not to say, this is Zane's release, or Wayne's release, or Dave's release. They're not to say that, are they? They say, this is the Lord's release. This is God's release. Oh. My, oh my. It's Christ who has accomplished for God's elect the complete payment of all our sins. God incarnate in the flesh, therefore the release is his. In that picture, in order to be a proper picture, must picture Christ, right? And it's a full release, isn't it? With no extraction. Oh my! We go out here clicking our feet together. It's wonderful. No, I know we can't because we're older now. But I'll tell you, if we were young, we'd go out there clicking our feet, couldn't we? This is wonderful, isn't it? What a salvation. What a salvation we have through Christ. And you know, the most powerful motive that a Christian can have for forgiving the debts of others is this. It's for Christ's sake. You ever notice you can't stay mad at people anymore? You can't hold grudges anymore against people? We can forgive people for Christ's sake, can't we? Now, we can get stinking mad, can't we? I'm not saying we can't. We can get angry, we can get mad. We just can't keep it that way. Before the Lord saved me, I could get mad at people that I'd probably never talk to them again in my life. But I can't do that anymore. Can you? We can't. When we consider how much God's forgiven us, it makes it easier for us to forgive other people, don't it? We have to remember we were there. Especially if they're religious or they're just lost. We were there. We were there, beloved. Praise God, he released us in Christ. Eh? Forgiving us all our sins. So can you and can I forgive someone who's wronged us for Christ's sake? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Because if we think about the great debt The great debt that we could never pay. And God says, I don't remember it anymore. That shows us here, right? These people were to forgive the debt and forget it. Not extract it again. That's what that means. If you're not going to extract it, you're forgetting it. It's gone. My, oh my. Can you forgive your brother or sister who's wronged you? If you can, then that's true charity. That's true Christian love. And now I've had some folks wrong me pretty bad, and I know some of you have too, who profess to be believers. But we have to let it go, don't we? We have to let it go. Pray for their salvation, or pray that the Lord would, if they're not saved, pray for their salvation, and then if they are saved, pray that the Lord would work in their hearts. My, oh my. That's true Christian charity, isn't it? I was talking to Josh today about someone I'd had a row with about 2 months ago. And I said, I finally had to start talking to him again. I couldn't be mad at them. Even though they called me some despicable things, I couldn't be mad at them. And he said, I understand, Dad. And I said, you know, the scripture says, pray for our enemies, right, brother? Pray for those who despitefully use us. Love our enemies, yeah. Love them. Yeah. When we were unlovable, right? Yeah, well, we were his enemies. Yes, brother. My. So with that in mind, I just let the situation go. Start talking to him again. And I don't need an apology. Be kind to them. Yeah. My prayer is that the Lord would save the man. That's my prayer. I thought, well, it wouldn't be a very good witness if I didn't talk to him anymore, would it? I'd be just like the world then. And see, we can get caught up too, beloved. And I'm speaking from experience here. You got to just let it go. Whatever it is, we just got to let it go. You know why, too? I found something else. Have you found this? I know Dave and Zane and I have been talking about this before, that when we're harboring something against somebody, it's usually not hurting them. They're not even aware of it, probably. There you go, brother. Dave said we're drinking the poison, which is right. We're the ones that are getting bitter. But when you let it go, it's like a weight just comes off you, beloved. It's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. And only God can rot that in us, right? And isn't it neat? Because before we were saved, we would never be like that. We'd never be like that. Man, I could be so mad at somebody for months. I can't do it anymore. Praise God. Is it true for you too? I know, Zane, we've talked about it. It's true, isn't it? My, we just can't stay mad at people. We grieve. Now we pray for them. Now we cry for them. Tears for them. My, oh my, what a change God wrought, eh? And when we think of the release of us from our sins, that should make it easy for us to forgive other people, right? Oh my. Oh my. Yeah, we have to. Yeah. We love him because he first loved us. As Dave said, when we were enemies in our minds by wicked works, he still loved us. Man, I'll tell you what, that just brings me right down to my knees. Brings tears out of my eyes. What a great God. What a forgiving God. So our love towards men flows out in acts of mercy and deeds of kindness, which spring from the fact the love of God is now shed abroad in our hearts. We're not the same people we were. Moses wrote of Christ. Our Lord said to the two on the road to Emmaus, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses, well, we're reading Moses' works tonight, aren't we? We're reading one of the books the Holy Spirit had him pen. The true author is the Holy Spirit, but he was the instrument that God used to pen these words. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The scriptures there is the Old Testament. So Christ expounded unto them all the things concerning him. Now we're still learning, aren't we? I don't think we're going to learn all of them. But could you imagine that walk? Oh my! I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. That's me. That points to me. Oh my. We get it. We go, oh my, look at that. Because we haven't seen it before, right? I think this would be system overload on Luke there, Luke 24. Those fellas, they must have been on a high for weeks after that. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Oh, next point is the release the Lord gives to his people. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again of Deuteronomy 15. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not extract it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. Now turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, the mercy of God is just set forth before us here in this text. How wonderful our great God is to us. How full of mercy and grace he is. And again, this isn't for the Moabites. This is being written to the Israelites, right? This is not for, think of this too, it's not for the Moabites, it's not for the Edomites, it's not for the Egyptians, it's not for the Philistines, it's not for the Syrians, or any other nation around Israel. It's only for Israel. It's only for Israel. See, people get all hung up on limited atonement. This was written just to Israel. The sacrifices were only for Israel, not for anyone else. Israel was chosen out of all the nations, not because of anything in them or anything in the people, but because it was God's will. That just pictured the church. That just pictured the church, beloved. And who did Christ die for? He died for his sheep. Who were the atonement sacrifices for? They were for Israel. My, oh my. Look at this here. Oh my. We know the Lord, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And this release is called the Lord's release. Look at this in Galatians 3, verses 22 to 26. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's all of us, right? Every son and daughter of Adam. Everyone. The only one who wasn't sinless was the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. That the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. There's that clause again. Them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law and shut up under faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to what? What did the law do? What was the purpose of the law? We see it right here. He was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And now that's God-given faith, right? And that faith has one object, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God are given this faith. Are given this faith. It's wonderful. But after faith came, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What? Well, we're released, aren't we? We're released from the law, aren't we? Now, folks say, well, you talk like that, you sound like an antinomian. I am not an antinomian. Don't believe we can go and do whatever we want, and I don't believe God's people will do that. My, oh my. The very people who say that, they fall into sin just like you and I do, beloved. My. When we realize we're all a bunch of sinners, we're going to give praise and glory to God that we're not under the law anymore. Right? Oh my. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in who? In Christ Jesus. That's the key right there. My. So the release in our text, think of this. The release in our text is the release of bankrupt. They're bankrupts, aren't they, really? They owe a credit. They owe their creditors and they can't pay it. Right? They may have been bankrupt. They may have been facing bankruptcy and go to this creditor and say, I'm going to be bankrupt, brother, if you don't help me out. And then they have mercy on them, help them out, don't they? Oh my. Think of how we're born into this world. We're bankrupts. We're absolute bankrupt. We're bankrupt of any righteousness. Right? There's none righteous, no, not one. We're bankrupt of any goodness. There's none good, no, not one. We're bankrupt of paying for our sins. Right? We're bankrupt of being justified before God by anything we do. Here's the eternal question. How can a man be just before God? That's the most important question that shall ever be asked. How can a man be just before God? Only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Because it's the Lord's release. The only way for us to be saved is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for us to be just before God is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised for what? Our justification. This is wonderful. I'll tell you what. The best news we've ever heard, isn't it? Best news we've ever heard. Oh, what's Scott Richardson say? Since I heard the good news, I ain't heard no more bad news. That's true. That's true, isn't it? Oh, my. So we were bankrupt before God. We were bankrupt before the law of God. We were bankrupt before the justice of God. All we did was owe. Right? All we did was owe, beloved. And through the infinite mercy of God, God's covenant love in Christ Jesus our Lord, His people were justified from all things, fully, freely forgiven. Still sinners. We're still sinners, but praise God, we're set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been released from the debt of our sins. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. What deliverance, what freedom we have, beloved. And think of this in light of these words that our Lord proclaimed. God incarnate in the flesh proclaimed these wonderful words. Look at this. Luke 4, verses 17 to 19. Oh, this is just wonderful, beloved. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What's the next verse say? Brother Dave, can you read that next verse? Luke 4, verse 20. That's okay. No, that's okay. Luke 4, 20. So he's told them here. He's read the book of Isaiah. He said about the acceptable year of the Lord. And I believe in the next verse he says, these things have been fulfilled in your ears, hasn't he? Yeah.
I got the children's closed the book.
Yeah.
Gave it again to the minister.
Uh huh.
And sat down.
And then.
And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Yep. What did he say? What's the next verse?
He began to say unto them, this day the scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Look at that. Fulfilled in your ears. Right there. That's what I was looking for, Dave. Right there. Isn't that wonderful? He says this. He says, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor in verse 18, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty, freedom, them that are bruised. And then further what Dave read, man, isn't that wonderful?
Released,
brother. Right in their presence. These words are fulfilled in your ears. Could you imagine that? We read this in awe, don't we? It's just incredible. It just gets me so excited, I'll tell you. It's absolutely amazing. Let's go back to Deuteronomy again. Oh. And take note also that the man who was here set free at the end of the seventh year, did he pay for anything to be set free? Did he say, well, I'm going to pay him 50% of what I owe still? He didn't pay nothing, did he? Oh, my beloved, he didn't pay nothing. He didn't pay a cent. Ah. Did he seek it? Nope. He didn't seek it either, did he? It's the Lord's release. So he didn't pay anything towards that release. He didn't seek the release. It's all the Lord's doing. We didn't seek our salvation. We didn't pay anything for it. It's all the Lord's doing. What a picture we have here, beloved. What a picture. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. And we see the full and free mercy of God in Christ in forgiven sinners, how it's pictured right here. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. Notice there's no conditions upon that release. This is something God's commanded. And here's the only condition he gives. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. And then here's another. He shall not extract it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. It's the Lord's release, beloved. Oh, my. Oh, yeah, brother. Scott Ritson used to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Oh, my. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? Oh. And so when the Lord sets poor sinners, souls at liberty, when a bankrupt sinner is born again by the Holy Spirit of God, they are, as Spurgeon said, sent away with full hands. We are loaded down with benefits, the scripture says, daily. My, oh my, how can this be? Well, we who are the redeemed of the Lord, Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, in Christ have all our debt wiped out, obliterated. So wiped out, so obliterated, that God will remember it no more. Now, I'll tell you what. That's wonderful news for sinners, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That's wonderful. I'll tell you what. So what a picture we have here. Oh, what a picture we have here before us. And how free we are in Christ. All because of the sufficient sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. All sins shall be forgiven and remembered no more. The debt is being paid in full. We're washed in the precious blood of Christ. I saw how you washed in the blood, right? Oh, we're washed, beloved. We're washed clean. And then so much so, we're so much so washed clean that it says here in verse 2, he shall not extract it of his neighbor or of his brother because it's called the Lord's release. What a release. What a release. And then our Lord Jesus Christ watches over us like he has even before we were saved, all the way until we get home to glory, where we will be in his presence forever. Oh my, what a day that'll be. Oh, how gracious and merciful is our great, great God to poor, bankrupt sinners such as we. Oh, the great debt of our sins, gone. Released from the debt. Remember that I mentioned earlier? We had a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And what are we? We're set free. Liberty, liberty, liberty. Just like we've been learning in the book of Galatians, eh? Freedom and liberty. Oh my. And now this release too, think of this too. This release was commanded and appointed by God for his glory. Because it gives him all the glory, doesn't it? It gives him. We don't bring any money. We don't bring empty hands, right? Empty hands. We come empty-handed before the Lord. The only thing we have is our sin. And it's already been paid for. Oh, my. My, oh, my. And it's his blood that was shed that's paid our debt, that paid the debt we owe. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, beloved. And all men are debtors to fulfill the law of God, but we're bankrupt. We can't fulfill one. We can't pay the price demanded by the law for one of our sins. And if you break one of the laws, you break them all. Right? Oh, and all we can do. Oh, all we can do is beg for mercy by the grace and mercy of God. Because we have, just like these in this text in Deuteronomy 15, we have no ability to pay our debt. Oh, what a picture is here for the believer in Christ. And how much greater is the release of all our sins, the release from all our sins, than the release of the money those folks owed in the Old Testament. How much greater is the release that we receive from God? Because he's the one we owe the debt to, isn't he? Oh my. We're free from the condemnation of our sins. We're free from the punishment of the debt we owed. And Christ paid it all, so much so that we're forgiven of all our sins and transgressions. All of them. And our sins were imputed to Christ. And I like to call it the great transfer. Our sins were imputed to Christ. He's still sinless, dying on that cross, right? And his righteousness is imputed to us. Oh my. Oh my. It's amazing. And I believe that's the white garment in heaven, is the righteousness of Christ. When it says the saints are clothed in white. Oh man, that's Christ's righteousness. My, oh my. Everything that God demanded for our sins in payment, Christ paid it all. Covered it with his precious blood. The handwriting of ordinance that was against us, he blotted it all out, beloved. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Oh my. God forgives us freely, fully, and all at once in Christ Jesus the Lord. And I'll tell you what, all who trust in Christ, their debt is forgiven. They have the forgiveness of all their sins in and through Christ. The only way for a sinner to be saved, right, is through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way, I love the fact that the Holy Spirit regenerates us and makes us willing and gives us faith to believe. God-given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Because we'd never choose him. Oh, we could never pay the debt, could we? What a great God. Look at this in Luke chapter 7. We're going to close with this. We'll start in verse 36 and we'll read all the way to verse 50. Luke 7, 36. And one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. Now remember these Pharisees, right? They were religious men, the who's who in Israel. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Oh my. Oh my. Look at that. One of us. One of us, eh? Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now she's known that. She's known. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Oh, now here comes the religious Pharisee. This woman's brought glory to God. But these Pharisees, they look for anything. See, he's not getting the attention, is he? These Pharisees, they love the praise of man, didn't they? This is his own house. Why is she not coming up to me? Oh. And then he's disgusted because this is a notorious woman. How do we know that? Well, she called a great sinner. She's known. Now when the Pharisee which has bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He didn't even, note here, he didn't speak this out loud. We speak within ourselves a lot of times, don't we? And it's a good thing we don't sometimes say the words that we speak within ourselves, right? Right? But God knows, look at this. God knows everything we think and speak within ourselves. Look at this. This is amazing. He spoke within himself saying, this man, and I could just hear it. He's speaking, and he's disgusted, isn't he, Brother Zane? He's disgusted that the Lord's allowing this, that this sinner woman's there touching his feet. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. Can you just hear the, in even within his mind, the drippings of self-righteousness? Oh my, praise God, she's a sinner just like you and I, right? Let's see what the Lord does. Let's see what he says. Oh, and Jesus saying unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now remember, he didn't speak a word outward. He didn't speak a word outward. But see, our God knows the intents of the heart and thoughts of man, doesn't he? Look at this. And Jesus answered unto him, saying, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Oh my. This is the King of Glory. I have something to say to you. Oh, and he said, Master, say on. Look at that. He don't think he's a master. He just says that. The Lord's not his master. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. See, this woman knew she was a sinner. And she knew she was a great sinner. She knew she sinned against God. No, she goes to the only person in that house who could forgive her of her sins. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I've entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Now, it was tradition, part of the culture. When someone came in your home, Dave, if I came to your house, you'd put a basin of water there if we were in Israel, and I'd wash my feet. Yeah. And it was a sign of respect. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, no greeting. No greeting. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. She's humbling herself before him, isn't she? She's kissing his feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. And again, that was part of the culture too. If I came into your place again, Dave, and you'd anoint my head with oil. It was just part of being, and it gave off a sweet perfume. Look at this. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, now look at this. Oh, he's God. Look what he says to her. Wherefore I say unto thee, unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Released! Released! She's a great debtor! Released! Oh, it's wonderful. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. He said it right to her. He's God in the flesh. And he said, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, this is wonderful, isn't it? And they sat at meat with him and began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. All I can say is amen and amen. That's all I can say. Brother Brian, would you close us in prayer?